With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fans Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, we were talking right before we started recording about how this day just felt like it was going to be a really good day with everything, really, because we saw Alex Smith return to the field, which was just a really fantastic moment. And then shortly before we started recording, Dak Prescott suffered an injury, looked likely like a season-ending injury, and it just put a damper on the entire day.
It really did. It just made me sad, real sad, because it's like the human element behind this. Dak obviously lost his brother. I went through depression this offseason. I was holding out, trying to get a long-term contract worked out with the Cowboys. They were unwilling to give him the money that he wanted. And he said, you know what? I'll just play this year under the franchise tag, and I'm not going to hold out. I'm going to play under it, and I'm going to earn that long contract. And to see him start off on like a record-setting pace and then have this happen, it's heartbreaking for the guy.
Yeah, it really sucks, and it was gruesome if you were watching it. It was really terrible. But how great was it to see Alex Smith? Like, I mean, absolutely incredible. Just the fact that he threw a pass in the National Football League was really one of the most remarkable comeback stories that I've ever seen.
Yeah, and then he came in and took like six sacks on like,
They did not take it easy, by the way. They were just like, oh no, welcome back. But yeah, he bounced up. He was all right when he was in there. But anyway, we'll have to deal with who the starting quarterback is for the Washington football team starting next week. But for now, let's talk about this week. In the meantime, oftentimes, we almost always live stream our podcast. You can watch us over at youtube.com/fantasypros. A few technical difficulties tonight. We're not live streaming, but we are recording it, and you can go to youtube.com/fantasypros to watch it. You should be subscribed to our YouTube channel anyway. We do a ton of videos. We do a ton of content. Lots of waiver wire pickups this week. On Tuesdays, we do a waiver wire live stream with me and Yates. We do waiver wire videos, start sit videos. We video all of our podcasts. Go ahead, subscribe. Make sure you click the notification button so you don't miss any of our great content. And again, that's over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Also follow us on Instagram at fantasypros. Quick hitting advice, new posts every day, rankings, start, sit, everything over there at Instagram. And if you want to enter our latest giveaway, that's one of the ways you can do it. We're giving away a signed black and gold Aaron Jones Packers helmet. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Twitter, also at Fantasy Pros, or you could subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Any of those get you an entry into the contest. Go to fantasypros.com/contest to check it out. All right, Tags, let's do as we did last week. Let's start with trust or bust, because we got a couple of interesting ones. It's wide receiver version. Let's start with number one, trust or bust, Chase Claypool. 11 targets, 7 catches, 110 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Should have been 4 if not for the offensive pass interference.
Well, it actually should have been 5. He scored 4. He had the one rushing touchdown.
Oh,
and
right.
And it should have been 5, but they called pass interference, the offensive pass interference, and it was a bunch of crap. That
Correct.
Was the worst call ever. That was a fantastic touchdown. This was the game of his life. Like, I don't know if Chase Claypool ever has a better NFL game than he had today.
Well, but I mean, to be fair, very few players in the NFL have probably had a better game than he had today. But, well, okay, so Deontay Johnson, of course, leaves with, I believe it was a back injury. I mean,
He was bent backwards.
Yeah, it was not pretty. But let's go on the assumption that Deontay Johnson is out for at least next week, maybe a few weeks. Trust or bust Chase Claypool?
Trust. I mean, he was someone that he was going neck and neck with James Washington. It seemed like Washington was edging him out in terms of routes run and snaps played and all that. But this is a constant three wide receiver set team. And clearly when Claypool is on the field, he's getting targeted, and 11 targets in this game. Now, there was a few factors that led to him getting more targets than someone like Juju Smith-Schuster due to matchups. But still, he took advantage of his opportunity. So this is a team that if you do produce with that opportunity, you're going to get more. And Roethlisberger looks pretty good out there. So, yeah. Trust.
Do you think that even if Deontay Johnson is okay, and let's say he's back next week, that Claypool has established himself with a role in this offense?
Well, I mean, he's always had a role, but I don't think that it grows, because Deontay Johnson's still going to play ahead of him. Juju Smith-Schuster's obviously not coming out the field, so it comes down to, are they willing to take off James Washington and put Claypool in a full-time role? I don't think they're going to do that, because again, coming into this week, it was Washington running more routes, and it wasn't trending in any certain direction for Claypool either. It's not like he was gaining steam because he was a rookie that didn't have training camp. It was just like James Washington was clearly out-snapping him, and it was like a thing where you're going to get some splash plays from Claypool, and that's fine. You can't predict him. But if Deontay Johnson's out there, I see these two as splitting that third wide receiver role, and it's going to be very unpredictable. Now, should he be rostered? Absolutely, because he's a guy that it's almost like a Mecole Hardman situation where he has multiple handcuff upside. Mecole Hardman, you know, if Sammy Watkins gets hurt, which he did today, Tyreek Hill, if he gets hurt, that's where Mecole Hardman's going to get on the field. And the same thing with Claypool, whether it be Juju, whether it be Deontay Johnson, James Washington, they all have an impact here. So Chase Claypool is definitely someone that should be rostered.
Yeah, without question. It's really just something to be like, if Deontay Johnson is out, I mean, we're going to talk about it all on the Waiver Wire show. You know what? We'll get into it like crazy on the Waiver Wire show, because he's going to be probably the number one name or close to it. Let's go to number two on Trust or Bust. Travis Fulgham. I know no DeSean Jackson. I know no Alshon Jeffrey. 13 targets, 10 catches, 152 yards and a touchdown. 57 yards and a touchdown last week. Trust or bust?
Bust. This is one that I am going to tell people sneak peek at the Waiver Wire show tomorrow. I am not going to be recommending picking Fulgham up. You do have D-Jax and Alshon coming back because they were limited in practice this week, which means that they're probably close to returning. You're going to have, so Greg Ward has played fine. He would be the number three receiver behind those guys. You have Jalen Reagor, who's going to be back. I think he's actually due back in like 2 weeks. So he's going to get playing time. Zach Ertz hasn't produced. That's going to change. Like, we're not going to continue to expect Zach Ertz to have one catch for 6 yards. This is more of like, you had opportunity because of all the surrounding factors, and you took advantage of it. Good for you. That's a good thing, but there's a reason this guy was on a practice squad, you know, just a couple weeks ago.
So you don't think there's any way, I mean, he has a connection with Wentz. You don't think there's any way when everybody is healthy that he can carve out a role here?
Only if DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey are out again.
Okay. All right. Henry Ruggs, only 3 targets, trust or bust, Henry Ruggs, only 3 targets, but 2 catches, 118 yards and a touchdown in his first game back from injury. Trust or bust, Henry Ruggs?
I mean, I don't want to trust him. I don't think he's necessarily a bust, but it's clear that the Raiders, when they talked this preseason that they were going to use him in the slot, they were lying and they don't know how to use him. It's like they're giving him a couple targets and it's down the field. I don't understand it. Henry Ruggs is not that guy. He's miscast in the role that they're playing him in. So I would say I would lean more towards bust, because I don't think he's going to be an every week starter like I had hoped he was. Like, I wasn't even high on Ruggs' talent coming out of college, but I was like, I think in this offense, it makes sense. And I felt like he could be a wide receiver 3 in fantasy, but I don't see him getting there with the inconsistent targets here.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's 3 targets. And what we talked about, what we liked about him in the preseason, was the fact that we saw him sort of fitting into Derek Carr, who's playing great, by the way, but the short area targets that he was going to be able to take fast. They're targeting him way downfield, but only 3 in the game. So I agree with you, it's a bust. Although I wouldn't mind rostering him, and I do in several places, but yeah, I agree with you there. All right, let's go to what's your problem, man? You mentioned him when we were talking about Chase Claypool. It's Ben Roethlisberger. He had him 18th. Tags 18th. I mean, at least 2 passing touchdowns in every game. I know it doesn't run at all. And this, at this stage of the game, quarterbacks who don't at least chip in something with their legs are dinged a little bit. But 18 struck me as pretty low. 27 of 34 for 239 yards and the 3 scores here. What's your problem with Ben Roethlisberger, Tags?
It's like a Derek Carr thing where he might be playing great. I have Roethlisberger. I have 16 right now. I was like, I'm looking at my rankings. I would rather take the upside of someone like Joe Burrow. I mean, I just don't know what the upside is with Ben Roethlisberger. If he doesn't throw 3 touchdowns, he's busting. That's basically what it comes down to, because he's a guy that offers no mobility. There's not really a ceiling there. If one of his receivers is hurt now, Deontay Johnson, if he misses time, that's worrisome. Even though Chase Claypool had like a monstrous game. Did you know, like, So it's crazy, Dan. Most people don't realize this stuff, but it's stuff when we look at it week over week. Last week in the NFL, week four, do you know what it took to finish as a top 12 fantasy quarterback?
What?
So Patrick Mahomes scored 20.3 fantasy points. He finished as the QB 17.
Yeah.
That's with, I know. That's with 236 yards passing, two touchdowns, no picks, and 28 yards rushing. So if you have Ben Roethlisberger out there throwing for 270 yards and two touchdowns, he's not even finishing as a top 12 quarterback. So it's like, where's the appeal with Roethlisberger? I mean, he's a fine streamer. I'm fine with that, but I don't find him sexy. I don't feel the need to own Ben Roethlisberger.
So there's no chance he's going to sneak into like QB1 territory for you.
Not really. I mean, he keeps finishing. I think every game this year has been in between like QB 12 and QB 18 or something like that. And that's where he lives. He's a streamer. He's a high end QB 2.
All right. What's your problem then? And you know, this one cuts me deep. Tags. It's Jamison Crowder, 35th coming in, 10 targets, 8 catches, 116 yards and a touchdown. His average game so far in the three games that he has played, 11 targets, 7 catches, 111 yards. And he has two touchdowns in his three games. What is your problem with Jamison Crowder?
It's Jamison Crowder.
That's not an answer.
He plays for Adam Gase. That's obviously a concern. But with Le'Veon Bell coming back, I didn't like that. Obviously, that's going to cut into his target share a little bit. I figured Chris Herndon would eventually actually start doing something with his targets. Why would you think
that at this point?
I don't know. It's a good question because I just believe in regression. I believe we know who Jamison Crowder is at this point in his career, and he's not a superstar. He's a good floor player, and that's why having him wide receiver 35, you said? I mean, that's basically where I feel like he should be, is like a wide receiver 3 with a solid floor. I don't think he's going to present upside a whole lot. This team's not in scoring position.
Think about how bad the Jets have been so far, okay? And maybe Adam Gase will be the coach for the rest of the year. I certainly hope not. But even, I mean, he's getting the targets. You love targets more than any human being loves anything in their life. Targets, catches, yards, everything is there for him. It just seems like a borderline wide receiver 3. Like most weeks, you're going to be like, oh, I don't know about this matchup. We'll see. Maybe I'll start Jamison Crowder. He should be locked in. A wide receiver 3 is fine. But he's going to be locked in your
life. Here, to be fair, I just pulled up my rankings because I do them every Sunday during the games. I kind of look through them. And Crowder right now is a wide receiver 33. So I did move him up a couple spots. But here's the issue. Are you going to move him ahead of guys like Marquise Brown? Are you going to move ahead of CeeDee Lamb? Are you going to move ahead of Robbie Anderson, Will Fuller, DJ Chark, Deontay Johnson? I'm not going to do that. And that's why I would rather take my chances on those guys that have like elite upside. Maybe not elite upside, but you know, at least wide receiver 2 upside. Whereas Crowder, would you rather have Crowder than any of those guys?
I had coming into this week, and again, it's right in that range, but I had Crowder 28th. I had Robbie Anderson 29th. I had CeeDee Lamb 31st. I had Marquise Brown 33rd. So though that's right where he belongs. And looking at his numbers and everything about it, like, what is the argument against him? Just that he's not sexy?
Well, because we know what he looked like last year. In terms, there were big games last year too. There were games where everybody's like, oh, he's a stable receiver now, and then he just like disappears because he plays for Adam Gase and the Jets. I still think that's going to be the case. I think we have too small of a sample size. He's only played what, 3 games this year?
Yes, 3 games, correct. That's it. There is legitimately nobody else to catch the ball there on that team, though.
Right, well, Denzel Mims is going to come off the pup list. Breshad Perriman might eventually not be dead.
that's fair. But no, still too low. I refuse to accept your argument. But let's get into the games now. Ravens 27, Bengals 3. Tags, Lamar Jackson, like, you're starting Lamar Jackson, of course, if you have him. Not a great game here. 180 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, could have been more. Just 3 yards rushing has actually been a little disappointing. It was a QB 8 coming in. He's probably going to be worse now coming out of this. I mean, you're starting him going forward, but is he still like a rock solid top 3 QB for you?
Oh, yeah. I'm buying Lamar Jackson. I think this is the perfect opportunity for you to buy low on him. And the reason I say that is because if you think like the people that drafted Lamar Jackson drafted him, let's say the end of the second round, beginning of the third round, the very latest third round, I would think, in most fantasy leagues. So let's say that they did that. That means they were behind at the running back and wide receiver position. So unless they nailed those spots, they are desperately looking for a running back or a wide receiver. If you were to go out there, this is your opportunity to say, hey, Lamar Jackson, we knew regression was coming. I mean, if you need a wide receiver, if you're able to go out and trade someone like a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 for him, I'm absolutely all over that. Wide receiver is a very replaceable position this year, and you could look through it and find, you know, players in the wide receiver 45 range that I'm willing to start. T. Higgins is now part of that territory where he's a guy that I'm willing to start every week if you had to. To upgrade to someone like Lamar Jackson for a player that maybe you drafted the fifth or sixth round, I would absolutely be doing that. Like, Lamar Jackson missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday, so he had some sort of knee issue that he was listed with. So it's apparent that something may have happened there where it was just he wasn't 100% in this game. The game was really never competitive, so he didn't really have to do anything. But I'm using this as an opportunity to buy low on him.
All right. Mark Andrews sees 9 targets. Nice to see there. Hauls in 6 of them for 56 yards and a score. And Hollywood Brown has a nice game here. 10 targets, 6 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. The running game, as we do every week, tags. Let's just briefly talk about it. Mark Ingram, 11 for 57 on the ground. J.K. Dobbins, 1 carry for 34 yards, plus 3 catches on all 3 of his targets for 21 yards. Gus Edwards gets in there for 7 carries and 25 yards. Are you starting any Baltimore running back in any given week?
Not ideally, no. I did a chart in the primer this week that went through this situation, and I tried to give people an understanding about what the opportunity that Mark Ingram has in front of him. And so basically in PPR formats, targets are worth 2.5 times as much as a carry is. That's just on average. Like there's it can vary from offense to offense, but that's the general idea, right? Mark Ingram, he had in week 2 was his most opportunity. It was a 16.5 score. There were 30 running backs in week 4 alone that had more opportunity than he had in his season high this year. And then in this game, he gets 11 carries, not a single target. Like, so that's 11 opportunity. This is terrible for Mark Ingram. Honestly, I said it last week. I'll say it again. Latavius Murray and him are so similar in a lot of ways. I think Latavius Murray is actually more valuable because even if Dobbins were to go down, even if Gus Edwards to go down, Mark Ingram's not walking into a workhorse role ever. They're going to bring in Justice Hill. You know what I mean? Whereas the Saints, Latavius Murray is behind Alvin Kamara. That's it. And he still shares that workload with him. So Mark Ingram, he's plummeting down my rankings, and he's well outside the top 30 running backs now.
I was going to ask you, Tex, because coming into this, if we did reverse What's Your Problem, Man, where you're too high, you know, on a guy who did worse, Ingram might have been the guy because you were 27th still in half PPR running backs coming into this week. Last week was the week I was finally off of Ingram. I had him 38th coming in tags. Like, I'm just done with it because there's just no chance. There might be the occasional game where he'll score the touchdown, but there is no chance at this point, given how they're splitting it up and given what his production has been, that he's going to suddenly like morph into an RB2 in half PPR formats. It's just not there. So I'm completely moving on from him. So that's where I'm at. On the other side, on the Bengals, really nothing going on here at all for the Bengals, but there were a couple of interesting things. Joe Mixon, in a game that they were just out of, like right from the start, 24 carries for 59 yards. The YPC isn't good, but 24 carries plus 8 targets and 6 catches for 35 yards through the air. So despite the mediocre sort of, you know, rushing totals, the arrow has to continue to trend up here for Mixon after this game, right?
Yes, I believe that, you know, remember last week when we talked about it was a buy low opportunity, people bought low, whatever. If you missed on that opportunity, you have it again. I had people in my timeline today, Dan, saying, "Oh, here we go again with Joe Mixon. It was 1 week against the Jaguars. He's back to being a bust. This is your opportunity to buy low again." The reason is because there is a fundamental change happening with them right now. Joe Mixon, over the first 3 games, saw 9 targets. Giovanni Bernard saw 15 of them. Over the last 2 weeks, Mixon has 14 targets, while Giovanni Bernard has just 2 of them. This is everything, because this Bengals team will be in negative game scripts, and that's what we were always concerned about. This is a tough matchup against Baltimore. Tough matchup. I'm fine with him struggling in this matchup. We never thought it was going to be a fruitful matchup or anything like that in fantasy. I had him as an RB2 this week. That's fine. It's going to happen. Bye, Joe Mixon.
Yeah. By the way, in half PPR formats, I mean, he's basically putting up 12 points. That's not killing you or anything like that. So I completely agree. I'm really encouraged by how much we're seeing. And it reminds me a lot of the second half of last year where suddenly it was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for understanding. So we kind of hoped it would happen again. And it looks like it is. AJ Green tags, leaves with a hamstring injury. We can just drop him, right? We're done.
He's droppable. Yes.
Okay. It's very good. So
that was the other sad part of my day.
I know. I'm sorry to hear that. But it does open up a little more breathing room for a guy that you mentioned earlier, which is T. Higgins. 8 targets, 4 catches, 62 yards. Again, I'm not holding anything that happened really in this game against anyone, against Baltimore. Tyler Boyd, 6 targets, 4 catches, 42 yards, but the arrow is up on T. Higgins, right?
Oh, yeah. He's close to wide receiver three territory for me right now. And honestly, if Green's going to miss some time, I might bump him up more. He's getting that conversation with someone like Justin Jefferson. These guys, they have good quarterbacks. T. Higgins is developing a connection with Joe Burrow, and we've kind of seen that developing. This was a brutal matchup. You know, he was going to see Marcus Peters for the majority of the day. That was always going to be tough, but Higgins is the one running the most routes. He's getting the most targets. There's a lot of things going in Burrow's direction or in Higgins' direction right now. So I love him moving forward. We always knew that he was the eventual replacement for AJ Green. We just didn't think it was going to happen this soon.
Yeah. So you had him 44th tags coming in. Where do you think, I'm not going to hold you to it, but where do you think he's moving to?
Right now, I have him at wide receiver 39. And again, he's teetering in that territory where I need to reevaluate, because these were adjusted before the whole Dak injury. So I might say I'd rather have T. Higgins than someone like Michael Gallup moving forward. I might move him ahead of Jarvis Landry. It's in that range, basically a low-end wide receiver three with some upside.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had him 39th coming in, so he'll move up a little bit for me as well. But yeah, that's it. This is exciting. I'm really glad to see. All right, before we keep going, let's talk about Owner's Box and the new wave of fantasy sports. Look, some of you like season-long sports. Some of you like DFS. Do a little of both. Do weekly fantasy sports with Owner's Box. Owner's Box changes the way you play fantasy sports, okay? You compete with your opponent over 7 days of fierce competition, and you get paid out weekly. 50% of users win money. New public and private contests are drafting every single day. Unlike the salary cap with daily fantasy sports, Owner's Box has created a first-to-market rule set that revolves around a set number of game opportunities by roster position. Your players earn you points throughout the week, but only if you have enough games available at the position. Also, Owner's Box curates a community amongst its users and allows them to engage socially in multiple different ways. You can add friends, create groups, earn free rewards through their first ever three-tiered referral system. And right now, they're giving everyone 25 Owner's Bucks to try the game for free and matching users' first deposit up to $50. Just go to ownersbox.com/fantasypros, sign up now. Again, 25 free Owner's Bucks, try the game for free, and they will match your first deposit up to $50. Again, that's ownersbox.com/fantasypros. Let's go on to the Steelers 38, Eagles 29. We already talked about Chase Claypool. Are you worried at all about Juju Smith-Schuster here? You mentioned, you know, the tough matchup, but only 5 targets, 4 catches, 28 yards. Are you worried at all, or are you just writing it off?
Oh, I'm worried. I mean, this was not a great matchup, but I am worried because he's not leading this team in targets like any given week. I mean, it's not just like, oh, this matchup. It doesn't matter. At some point, you have to lead the team in targets if you're the number one. I keep moving him down my rankings, down. And I've gotten to the point where he's at wide receiver 24 for the rest of the season.
Wow, that's a big drop for you, Tags. He was 15th coming in.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I have to, at some point, you have to say, okay, if you're the number one, I don't really care about the matchups anymore. You need the targets, and he's just not getting the elite targets. Touchdowns have really carried him to this point. And even to the point where Deontay Johnson leaves the game, and so we see Eric Ebron step forward. We see James Washington step forward. We see Chase Claypool step forward. And it's like, where's Juju in all this? You know, I keep moving him down. And honestly, if you wanted to make the case, if you wanted to say Devontae Parker should be over him, DJ Chark should be over him, Will Fuller should be over him, I would not even argue with you. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, I think I realized that coming into this week, because, you know, we do our start sit. You do the live stream on YouTube. I do it on Instagram Live. And people kept asking me about Juju. And, in the end, wherever he wound up in my rankings, but it was like low, significantly lower than where I have him rest of the season. And when I'm willing to do that for a guy based off a matchup, I know how I actually feel about him going forward. Like, I don't view you as the wide receiver one, because the real wide receiver ones, I'm not dropping 10 to 12 spots that much just based on the matchup. That's just how I rank. So that's when I kind of realized, like, oh, and this only reinforces it. James Conner, 15 for 44 on the ground. He does get the score, 3 targets, 19 yards. Any issues with James Conner? I mean, not he's not piling up the yardage like here or anything like that, but any issues with him? Tough matchup.
No, yeah, it was a tough matchup, and he's still being used in that workhorse role. This was a matchup that was always going to be tough against Philadelphia. You just wanted him to find the end zone to sneak out with that RB2 value, and he did it. So, I actually thought he looked better today than he has in the last couple weeks. So,
yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah, tough matchup. Miles Sanders, a really pretty 74-yard touchdown run, and then
6 yards on 10 carries.
On the other 10 carries. Stop stealing my thunder. Yeah, he does find the end zone twice, though. He does get in there twice, and he has another 19 yards receiving. Carson Wentz, meanwhile, does throw 2 touchdown passes, but Zach Ertz tags. I mean, you sounded optimistic. I mean, 6 targets, 1 catch, 6 yards. Where are we with Zach Ertz?
I mean, I don't want to say I'm optimistic, but I am. I'm optimistic. But if you look at the tight end landscape right now, believe me, there's part of me that was like, I need to drop Ertz like further. And then I looked at it, I was like, who am I dropping him below? TJ Hockenson? Noah Fant, who's currently dealing with a high ankle sprain? Jared Cook? Hayden Hurst, who's not getting targeted? No, I'm not doing that. So I think if someone drafted Zach Ertz, this is another one of those opportunities where they've taken on the crappy performances. They're willing to sell low because they're frustrated with him. I think you go in and do that. I think the people that have started Ertz every single week are the people that were looking for a suitable tight end every single week. And that's not really out there. You know, unless you have Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, to a certain extent, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, but those guys aren't even must start every single week. There's not really anything out there. It's a bunch of streaming guys. So why not go ahead and buy low on someone like Zach Ertz, who has shown year after year that he's a factor. And I do believe that it's just going to take some other players getting back in the offense, because opponents are basically saying, hey, if we remove Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz is nothing. But once DeSean Jackson's out there stretching the field a little bit, once, you know, Alshon Jeffrey's out there stealing those number one cornerbacks away, I think we're going to start to see improvement in Zach Ertz's numbers.
And don't forget, I mean, eventually, you know, that the schedule is going to lighten up a little bit. They've had a couple of tough defenses here, Conan. They do have Baltimore next week as well, but things are going to open up. Yeah, I agree. I would like to see it so that when Yates is basically like, I've seen him dropped, he could be dropped. I'm like, no, don't do that. But it's hard to argue after this game, but I wouldn't. I would still hold as well. Panthers 23, Falcons 16. I got so many. Which one should I start, Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore? And the answer was yes. Anderson, 13 targets, 8 catches, 113 yards. DJ Moore, 5 targets, 4 catches, 93 yards, and the touchdown, which comes on a short 57-yard pass that he runs that just they don't really tackle. They just sort of like watch him go down the sideline, kind of jogging, and don't really go after him. Are you feeling better about Moore after this game? I mean, Anderson out-targeted him 13-5.
Not really. Again, we have to like stop ourselves. Like, this is a thing I've struggled with Robbie Anderson, is like we have these ideas in our minds about the players that they are. And when they go to a new team with a new quarterback, with a new offensive scheme, we have to hit the reset button. And it's really difficult to do that sometimes because we have that, you know, that's bad taste in our mouth from Robbie Anderson. At the same time, DJ Moore was a guy under the previous regime. They targeted the hell out of him. And he was someone that like, he's going to bounce back. We're now almost a third of the way through the fantasy season, and Robbie Anderson has more targets, he has more receptions, he has more yards. They each have one touchdown, so it's not like a very fruitful offense for touchdowns. But Robbie Anderson, even if you think that DJ Moore is still the better receiver to have in fantasy, it's not a big gap. Like, these two are closing. I actually, right now, I have DJ Moore, I think, at wide receiver 20. I moved him down to wide receiver 23, and I have Robbie Anderson at wide receiver 28. So the gap is shrinking. I'm coming around to it. I think they're both starts most weeks. This Panthers team, you're going to start to see them have to throw the ball a little bit. They have tough matchups coming up against the Bears and the Saints. So this might actually be an opportunity for you to sell high on both those guys.
Yeah, I had Moore 25th and Anderson 29th. And my guess is when I do my rest of season updates, I'm going to have Anderson slightly ahead. It's hard to ignore the actual production. And, you know, I think if you could be willing to, quote unquote, sell high on Moore, I like Moore. I wouldn't mind to roster him for the rest of the season at all. But if you could, based on this game, because, you know, again, 5 targets and his 57-yard touchdown was kind of ridiculous. It was more based on the fact that Atlanta has apparently just completely mailed it in, and I'm sure Dan Quinn is going to be fired maybe by the time everybody is listening.
He kind of is, I think. I think that's already done.
Is it actually? I mean, I know I've heard, like, I'll tell you, Arthur Blank saying, I'll tell you when I
I think it was Pro Football Talk basically said it's happened. So that is the case. And by the way, real quick, before we jump on off of Carolina,
Yeah.
Sell Mike Davis. He's done such a good job for your fantasy team. And we haven't heard much about Christian McCaffrey, so I think it's still in the back burners where people think, hey, Mike Davis, starting running back. Again, matchups with the Bears and the Saints coming up, two brutal defenses to play for running backs. It's not to say Davis is going to have any value, but that's after those games is when McCaffrey is going to be back. So right now is the time to buy on Christian McCaffrey and sell Mike Davis.
Well, that is what I was going to ask you. I mean, Tags, given how involved he is, I asked it last week, I'll ask it again. You don't think he carves out a role for himself at all when McCaffrey comes back? Is just going to go back to McCaffrey completely and utterly dominating the touches?
I do. I think that's why they paid Christian McCaffrey. I mean, it's worth saying, though, that Mike Davis, you know, I talked about that opportunity that Mark Ingram doesn't have. Mike Davis ranks 9th in running backs with opportunity per game. So he's basically walked into that Christian McCaffrey role, a slightly lesser role, like very, very slightly. But it's... I don't think he carves out. If there's a blowout or something like that, yeah, they could decide or like to put him out there and like let him get some more run. But you don't pay McCaffrey all that money to sit on your bench in a timeshare.
All right. Yeah. And meanwhile, on the other side, there's no Julio Jones here. Calvin Ridley gets back into action. 10 targets, 8 catches, 136 yards. Todd Gurley has a really solid game here. 14 for 121 on the ground. Plus, he finally gets involved in the passing game. 5 targets, 4 catches, 29 yards. Do you feel better about Gurley a little bit here?
No. However, my advice is to hold him. The reason I'm saying that is because I've been going through the rest of season rankings and looking at the upcoming schedule. This seems like a great opportunity to sell high, but he's going to be playing the Vikings, the Lions, and the Panthers again over the next 3 weeks. So basically we have bye weeks for a lot of fantasy owners, and that's going to present a lot of issues with the lack of depth that we have at the running back position right now. So I say hang on to Todd Gurley for another 3 weeks. There's going to be another opportunity for you to sell high.
Yes, I wrote that in my, he was one of the most traded players pretty much every week. And I said, if you have Gurley, you might as well ride this out here for a few weeks, because after that, you should be able to sell him for more than is right now. By the way, there are changes to the NFL schedule. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, given the cancellations. Different bye weeks are coming. I have not yet been able to plug it all into my spreadsheet, but I do assume for right now that that is still going on and the schedule remains, at least for the Falcons. Tags, true or false, very quickly, you cannot start Matt Ryan unless Julio Jones is playing.
Seems like it. I mean, to be fair, the Panthers have been a tougher matchup than any of us expected this year for quarterbacks, but it's looking really, really bad for Matt Ryan right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I'm disappointed. I love Matt Ryan coming in. I have a lot of shares of him, but especially without Julio Jones. Ugh, no way. Raiders 40, Chiefs 32. Derek Carr, we talked about a little bit, plays really well here. That he throws for 3 touchdowns, 347 yards. One goes to Ruggs, as we talked about. One to Nelson Aguilar for 67 yards and a touchdown. And one to Darren Waller, 7 targets, 5 catches, 48 yards and a touchdown. Slow start here for Josh Jacobs. I mean, if you're watching the first half of that game, you weren't really excited in a matchup that we kind of thought that he would do well. But in the end, when it became this positive game script, he kind of piled it on based on volume. 23 carries, 77 yards, not great, but 2 touchdowns plus 8 yards receiving. How do you feel about Jacobs right now, Tex?
This was a game where he actually should have presented more value. I mean, I know he scored 2 touchdowns, but he caught 2 passes. He finished with 77 yards on 23 carries. He was not particularly efficient. It's worrisome. They have one of the tougher remaining schedules in the NFL, too. This was supposed to be one of his good matchups that you could have kind of basically sold high walking away from. And I might still look to do that, because there's some, you know, fantasy managers out there that basically what they do when they're looking to trade a player, if they didn't have him on their roster, what they're going to do is they're going to click on his player profile. They're going to look at his fantasy points scored over the first 5 weeks or so. They're going to see the massive performance against the Panthers. They're going to see this performance. They're going to be like, okay, I'm getting a stud running back, a guy that was drafted borderline first round. I am willing to trade Josh Jacobs right now if you're getting some good value in return.
So what does that mean, by the way? Good value. Like, where do you have him ranked roughly?
I have him ranked. It's right around. It's low end RB1 just because of the. I mean, if you were able to trade him for maybe Chris Carson, I might do that. Just because Carson is involved in the passing game this year. He's a guy that has made the dedication to play all 16 games. He said he was tired of the knock on him that he couldn't play. You know, he couldn't stay on the field. And that's why he came back from that sprained knee and played well against the Dolphins. So with how well Russell Wilson's playing, I'd rather have Chris Carson. You could make the argument that Jonathan Taylor should be ahead of Josh Jacobs. You could even say Mixon might belong better in a higher regard than him with his new usage in the passing game, because that's what Jacobs has been kind of lacking throughout his career.
I had Mixon ahead of Jacobs actually coming into this by 1 spot, 8 and 9, because I was really buying into what we saw from Mixon. Again, this isn't a sell Josh Jacobs. I mean, he's one of the rare running backs that is dominating carries in the way he is, and he got 23 in this game. But it is something where his actual game performance doesn't really match what the box score, the fantasy points are going to say in this game. For the Chiefs, a few things to break down here, Tags. The usual suspects in the passing game get it done. Patrick Mahomes, 340 and 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, 12 targets, 8 catches, 108 yards in the score. Tyreek Hill, 93 total yards and a score. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, kind of disappointing here, Tags. I mean, it wasn't the positive game script that we expected, so just 10 carries for 40 yards. He does get 8 targets, just 3 catches for 40 yards. Just a disappointing day, or are you a little worried about him?
I'm not worried about him. I think he looks good in terms of what we've seen on the field. It's just a lack of touches. I think Patrick Mahomes is, and I know this is like going to sound bad because he's still the best quarterback in the league, but I think he's gotten into this like little phase right now that he's almost trying to make everything look like a highlight. I don't even know how to like put that into words very well. But basically when I watch him, It's like he drops back in the pocket and he just wants to roll around and he wants to throw the ball from weird angles and he wants to throw the ball falling off to his left or whatever. And it's creating some issues. There should have been some other interceptions in this game. He didn't play particularly well. There were some wild throws for sure because he has all that crazy, ridiculous arm talent. But they lost this game because they didn't have a good balance. They should have been running the ball against the Raiders and they didn't do it. Am I worried about Clyde Edwards-Helaire? No, I'm not worried about him. I still have him as my number 8 running back for the remainder of the season, so I'm not particularly worried about him. But I did drop him down a little bit because I had him up, I think, at number 5 or number 6.
Yep. No, I think that is fair because, I mean, that's sort of where I'm going. And I've slowly kind of, for most weeks, just kind of been dropping him a smidge a little bit where he was like immediately after the first game, I was like, boom, you're a top 5, maybe top 4 guy. Now he's more like 7, 8, maybe 9. Still a guaranteed start, still a guy you want on your fantasy roster, but maybe just a few concerns that move him down just a tad. Meanwhile, we mentioned Sammy Watkins, who does score a touchdown but hurts his hamstring. If he's out for an extended period of time, are you going out there to get Mecole Hardman?
He should have already been rostered, to be honest with you. Yes, Mecole Hardman is someone that absolutely should be. He should be rostered in every league, even if you're not, you don't need to play him right now. He's one of those fantastic guys. Again, he has handcuffed to multiple players. I like Hardman going forward.
All right, guys. So you know when you're talking to your fantasy football buddies and they're like, oh, I was on that guy from day one. Well, if you are that person, congratulations. There's now a way for you to put that scouting skill to good use with Prediction Strike, the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stock. So here's what you do, okay? Go to PredictionStrike.com, create an account, then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players like you would real stocks. The value of the players is going to change based upon game performance, and you can trade your shares of players at any time so long as a player isn't currently in a game. Think about everything you heard on this podcast from the guys in the preseason. Think about Jonnu Smith. Think about Calvin Ridley. Think about how high tags was on Clyde Edwards-Helaire before he was even drafted by the Chiefs. With Prediction Strike, you can build a portfolio of athletes and watch them rise or fall over the course of their careers. I'm getting started on this tomorrow. Come with me. Go to PredictionStrike.com, sign up with code FANTASYPROS, and get an additional $10 for your first deposit of $20 or more. Again, that's PredictionStrike.com. All right, Rams 30, Washington football team 10. All three running backs get some play here. Darrell Henderson, 18 touches, 68 yards, 2 touchdowns. Malcolm Brown, 9 touches for 24 yards. Cam Akers, 9 carries for 61 yards. Are you trusting Darrell Henderson going forward?
You know, the liar, liar line where Jim Carrey, he's like, settle, settle, settle. I feel like I want to scream sell about Darrell Henderson just like that. So Sean McVay told us that he wants this to be basically a Kyle Shanahan type like rushing attack. And that means that there's going to be different options every single week. We had Malcolm Brown there as an option for 2 weeks. We saw now Henderson. Now this is the third week where he's the guy. Cam Akers is back in the lineup. He actually ran for 61 yards on 9 carries today. So would it surprise me in a couple weeks if, you know, Cam Akers was the guy that everybody's like, oh, maybe he's the guy to have in the LA backfield? The truth of the matter is none of them are the guys to have as a consistent option. You're not going to be able to rely on them. They have a matchup with San Francisco next week. Then it's Chicago after that. So they have a tough schedule coming up. I would be looking to sell high and rid yourself of this backfield.
Yeah, I don't want a piece of it. I get it. I'm glad Darrell Henderson had a good day for the fantasy managers who were brave enough to start him. But yeah, with all three of those guys, it just, Sean McVay does not want one of them to be the guy. So I would much rather rid myself of the headache, especially if I could sell high on Henderson after this game. For the receivers, both do enough here. Woods, 4 catches, 71 yards and touchdown. Cooper Kupp, not great, but 5 catches for 66 yards. And finally, a Rams tight end. Finally, what we were waiting for, the big day. And it's Gerald Everett, 4 catches on 4 targets for 90 yards. Higbee, 2 targets, 2 catches, 12 yards. Can you drop Tyler Higbee tags?
I think I put him down to 13 in my tight end rankings, so you can make the case, yes. We've actually been seeing him slowly lose snaps. He's run, coming into this game, I haven't seen his routes run in this game, but he has not topped, he hasn't reached 20 routes in each of the last 3 games. Like, if you average 3 yards per route run, that's like elite beyond elite. Like, nobody ever gets to that territory. So if you're running fewer than 20 routes, you're basically touchdown or bust, which is basically, that's what we look for in streamers. That's not an every week starter. Higbee was someone that we've been talking about on the start and sit show every single week and saying, hey, this guy's losing some of his snaps. And now knowing Everett is putting up some totals, I'm curious to see what the routes look like now, because this is something that there was only like legitimately a 6-game sample size with Tyler Higbee where he really ran a whole lot of routes. And it was when there was a lot of injuries. Brandon Cooks was coming back off the concussion. They had Cooper Kupp was kind of on and off the field towards the end of that year. They lost Gerald Everett towards the end of that season. So I don't know. He's not a must own anymore. I don't think he has to be a drop, but he's definitely not a must own.
No one has to be a drop, Tags. That's the correct. That's really what I should say. Are you compelled to hold Higbee on your roster? And the answer is no. I mean, you have it correctly. The answer is no at this point, given what he's been doing over the past 3 games. We do this on Sunday night. We have not seen the data. We haven't been able to dig into everything. But for right now, yeah, I mean, you can drop him. You can go ahead and move on if you absolutely have to. Don't spite drop, but if you need to move on, you absolutely can. On the other side of the ball, again, we talked about great to see Alex Smith come back here. But the only touchdown is scored by Kyle Allen, which was a rushing touchdown. Again, he was knocked out after a hard hit. I think he did come back, but they just stuck with Alex Smith. Antonio Gibson, just 11 for 27 on the ground. He does get 5 catches on all 5 of his targets for 24 yards through the air. And Terry McLaurin, 7 targets, 3 catches, 26 yards. Are you concerned about either of these guys? Was it somehow related to Dwayne Haskins, or are you just writing this performance off?
This was a tough matchup against the Rams. The Rams have been playing really, really good defense. And granted, Washington's not a good offense, but that offensive line was never going to be able to contain Aaron Donald. And that was really the problem all along. The biggest thing about this, like, Terry McLaurin's going to be a target monster. He's going to be fine. My concern is about Antonio Gibson. And a lot of people talked to me in the chat this morning about him and saying, should I start him or so-and-so? And I'm like, honestly, I'm playing it safe with him just because if you looked, again, we're going back. The same reason that we faded Tyler Higbee is the same reason that I was kind of fading Antonio Gibson, because he's a guy that needs to be in a positive game script with how they're using him. JD McKissick is a guy that's playing more snaps, more running more routes. So therefore, if they're going to fall behind in a negative game script like this one, I was worried about him. So to see him walk away with, you know, just 51 total yards on, he had 16 touches, so it's not all bad, but his snaps, 31 snaps last week. I don't know what his snaps are yet this week. But basically, he's someone that it's almost like that Eagles running back situation, right? Where if you're not playing more than 35 snaps, 40 snaps, it's really difficult for you to produce consistently in fantasy.
Yeah, this one worries me about Gibson. I was buying in. I had him at 18 for the rest of the season coming in. You had him at 22. So you were, you know, not quite buying him, but we're both looking at him as a, you know, a low end mid tier for me, low end RB2 for you. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about this. Just again, you did see McKissick out there a ton and getting a lot of work. So I'm a little worried about this, but again, I want to dig into it before I make any firm conclusions. Cardinals 30, Jets 10. Kenyon Drake does find the end zone here, but gross. 18 carries, 60 yards, 1 target, 1 catch, 2 yards. Value for Kenyon Drake up, down, or the same?
It's the same. I'm still worried. He looks like crap.
Yeah.
Like,
what is this, Tags? What is this?
I don't know. What's the problem? I was a fan of Kenyon Drake coming into the season. And if you were to go through, this is where I have an issue with people calling out, you know, analysts that go through a process and they explain the reasoning. If you were to tell everybody that Kenyon Drake is going to get, 75% of the Cardinals touches, the Cardinals offense is going to be scoring this many points and this and that and this and that, you would have drafted Kenyon Drake as a borderline first round talent. So nothing has changed there. It's all about Kenyon Drake, the player. The opportunity is there. He just looks like, it's almost like a Todd Gurley thing, right? Where he's a young guy, but he looks like an aging running back that is just struggling. And it's the beginning of the season. I don't know if this is that injury that goes back to the preseason or whatever, but Chase Edmonds, when he's on the field, he looks better. Again, it's easier to look better when you're a backup because your legs are fresh. You're coming in off the bench. And like, think about it. If you go on a normal human being, I don't run marathons. If you go for a run around your neighborhood, and it's a mile long. You get to the end of that mile and you're kind of like, "Ooh, I could use a walk." And then someone basically comes in to replace you for the next eighth of a mile. They're going to sprint. Okay, so that's basically how I compare backups. That's why it's not apples to apples. It's not like, well, he averages 12 yards per carry and he averages 4. That's not really a fair comparison. But I am worried about Drake because he doesn't look good even when he's fresh.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. He doesn't look good. And whatever it is, there's something. So, I mean, I was talking about him when, you know, people keep talking about training for him. And I'm like, I would buy low, but I wouldn't be running out to do it. Like, I'm not sitting there being like, this is a guy like Mixon. I felt better about because I was like, that, you know, that he's getting more touches than he did in the beginning of last season.
And he looks good when he gets the ball. It's just
correct.
Like,
yeah. Correct. This does not look good. And he's getting the volume, but I'm concerned. I'm definitely concerned. Meanwhile, again, you mentioned Chase Edmonds also, you know, 92 total yards on the touchdown. Kyler Murray rushes for a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins gets going kind of late, but gets going. Certainly 7 targets, 6 catches, 131 71 yards and a touchdown. And Christian Kirk gets involved, 7 targets, 5 catches, 78 yards. Anything to discuss here really, Tags, with the Cardinals, or you want to move on?
Not really. Christian Kirk is starting to come around. I felt like he was a better option than people were giving him credit for this week against the Jets with the struggling run game for the Cardinals. But so to see 5 catches for 78 yards, he did move up a little bit in my rest of season rankings. It seems like he's getting a little bit healthier. So he's just a name to monitor. If you're dropping AJ Green, someone to maybe grab might be a Christian Kirk.
For the Jets, we already talked about Jameson Crowder. Le'Veon Bell in his first game back, 14 touches, 67 yards. What are your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell?
Buy. I'm still buying him. It's very rare. You know, we're talking about Antonio Gibson. We're talking about Mark Ingram. We're talking about players in that range. Even Ronald Jones, Daryl Henderson. These are guys that are not guaranteed 15 touches every single week. Le'Veon Bell is. And again, for running backs, we don't have a great ceiling with someone like Le'Veon Bell, but we do have a floor. And that's basically what you're chasing with running backs, especially this season, knowing like all the issues that we're having and the players that you need to step into your starting lineup. Le'Veon Bell's not a bad guy to have. So I'm not worried about it. I'm really curious to see what happens when they let go of Gase. Whenever that happens, are they going to use Le'Veon Bell more? Is this team going to play harder? Like whatever the case is, but I'm curious about it.
We'll find out in 4 years when they get rid of Gase. I'm a little more worried than you are, Tag, just because I imagine you didn't watch that much of this game.
I did not watch much of this game.
He really, really doesn't look good. Looks slow and old. And I worry a little bit that they're going to be like, why don't we see what Pirine can do? Why don't we start, why are we giving away these targets on a team?
This is a team that signed Frank Gore.
Well, I mean, in 4 years, once Adam Gase is gone, then you won't have to worry about it. But yeah, no, that is a fair point. But really, this game, when I was watching, I was just like, oh, man, this was like the first time noticeably I was like, oh, you're not just being patient. You seem like you lost stuff. It was his first game back, but I am a little bit worried. By the way, Tags just came across while we were recording this. Prescott, not surprising, unfortunately, suffered, right ankle compound fracture.
He's having surgery tonight, they're saying.
Yeah, he's out for the season, I'm sure. So, of course our thoughts are with him, and sucks. It just sucks for everything. But let's move on here to the Texans 30, Jaguars 14. I should have trusted my original projections on Brandon Cook's Tags that we talked about on Wednesday, where I was like, no, I got to move down. I can't deal with this. 12 targets, 8 catches, 161 yards, and a touchdown. Will Fuller also finds the end zone with 58 and a score, and Darren Fells with Akins out also 57 yards and a score. Are you back in on Brandon Cooks here or what?
No. if you look at Cooks, it's not just the struggles at the beginning of this year. It's the end of last year with the Rams too. He was on the field, but he was struggling ever since that concussion. It was good to see him get bounced back. Well, I don't think that he's an automatic, just get rid of him just to get rid of him and sell high just to sell high. I think you should get a top 40 wide receiver in return for him. That's the type of value I'd be looking to get. Otherwise, I would just hold him for now. I don't think he's a must start. I want to see him put together a string of a couple games. The one thing that you have to say that is a possibility is that Bill O'Brien was fired. They've kind of moved on, and this is a new, they're going to slowly change this offense without Bill O'Brien. So that's the question, right? Is that, does Brandon Cooks have a bigger role now that O'Brien's gone? It's a possibility. Again, we have to go back to that Robbie Anderson idea and that, you have to get rid of those old mindsets because there are factors that are changing in this offense. Again, it's a very, 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 very small sample size of one game, so we don't want to overreact. It was a great matchup. We talked about him on the DFS show as a good Hail Mary play for just 4K, I think he was. So it made sense in that aspect, but I have him right around wide receiver 42, I think, for the rest of the season. So I'm not all in, but I'm holding right now.
Yeah, that's pretty high. That's enough to be intrigued. Let's just say that. David Johnson, 17 carries, 96 yards, plus 4 targets, 2 catches, 7 yards. Did this make you feel better about David Johnson?
No, he is what he is. He's a Le'Veon Bell of the Houston team.
All right.
I'm serious. I am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you're wrong because I think he's better than Le'Veon Bell.
I have them right next to each other in my rest season rankings.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean so. But I mean, if you're comparing talent wise, but hold on, let me just check. Wait, is this your updated rest season?
Yeah, I have it 20 and 21.
Okay, that's fine. I have David Johnson 20. I had Bell at 28, but to be fair, I needed to see him come in and be healthy. So he'll probably move up to more like 24, but whatever. I mean, the comparison's not terrible. I just mean,
thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. That's all I want to hear. That is correct, Dan. That is correct. You have the right answer.
Fine. It just felt like an insult. Okay. All right. Jaguars. Look, DJ Chark leaves this game with an ankle injury. I don't know how serious it is, but only 4 targets, 3 catches, 16 yards. We had talked about how it was a tough matchup with Roby, but Laviska Shenault, 8 targets, 7 catches, 79 yards. Good to see. What's your rest of season outlook on Laviska Shenault?
He's been escalating. He's a guy, 4 targets in the first 2 games, then it was 6 targets in the next 2 games. Now we have 8 targets. We have DJ Chark with another injury. It's not the chest injury that he's been dealing with. It's another one. So LaVisca, as a rookie, these guys are only going to get better. It's not to say he's going to continue to, like, you know, get 2 more targets every 2 weeks, because that would just get off the rails. But this Jacksonville team is pathetic in terms of their defense. We kind of knew that was the case. So LaVisca, I'm not going to put him in T. Higgins and Justin Jefferson territory, because he just doesn't play in an offense that supports multiple wide receivers. And we do have to worry about DJ Chark. We do have to worry about Keelan Cole to a certain extent. So I can't move him too high, but, you know, I think he is moving up where he, during bye weeks, I think he's someone that's fine that you could plug into your lineups.
Absolutely. Completely on board there. Meanwhile, Minshew does his usual good streaming, you know, performance, 301 yards plus 2 touchdowns, as well as 18 yards rushing. A little disappointing here for James Robinson, 13 carries for 48 yards. He has to see, again, 7 targets, 5 catches, 22 yards. Any other takeaways here, really, from the Jaguars, or you want to move on?
It was a disappointing day for James Robinson, that's for sure. He had the touches necessary. It wasn't that. It was just this offense. Just struggled today, that's all.
Yep, bad day for them. Wasn't a bad day for the Dolphins, who put up 43 points to the 49ers, 17. Weird game. No Jordan Howard here, just inactive, as far as I could tell, right? No injury or anything like that. Just declared inactive unless I missed something. Miles Gaskin, 16 carries, 57 yards. And the big thing, finds the end zone, plus 5 targets, 5 catches, 34 yards. Did you say it was his back or he was just scratched, Tex?
Oh, he's just bad.
Oh, he's just bad. Yes. He was inactive with badness. If they are done with Howard, okay, how much does Gaskin's stock rise going forward?
If he's inactive, we have to give him a bump, because that was what you were always worried about, right? He was getting the touches, but he wasn't getting the most valuable touches when they're inside the 10 or 5 yard line. But if he's getting those like he did today, Gaskin is someone that I need to go and figure out what's actually going on with Howard, if it was just badness or if he's just, you know, whatever. But Gaskin, I could say that I might move him up to like RB26 range, depending on what we hear.
Yeah, well, considering I had him at RB25 before this game, then yeah, wow. That's where it should be. Yeah,
scary, Dan.
Well, to be fair, when I was thinking about his rest of season outlook, I wasn't expecting Jordan Howard to suddenly be inactive in this game. But I did think that eventually they were going to be like, why are we doing this with Jordan Howard? It just makes no sense. What is the point of having a guy who's going to have a sub 1 yard per carry just take all the goal line? Let's see what Gaskin can do. And so, you know, the guaranteed touches that he was getting, especially factoring into the passing game, made me intrigued, and I'm even more so now.
You know what's funny is that Joe Holka brought him up on the DFS show. I wouldn't go cheaper than Gaskin. That's the cheapest I'd go, because he was 4,800. And it's funny because after that show, I was able to sit down and go through opportunity per dollar in terms of projections and all that. He was the one that was popping off, and I was like, no, I'm not playing him. I can't do it. I can't go down that cheap. And I played Le'Veon Bell instead.
Yeah.
I was dumb.
I get it.
I should have listened to my own thing.
That was a bad decision. Devontae Parker, meanwhile, catches a touchdown. Mike Gesicki goes for 91 yards. But how about Preston Williams? 5 targets, 4 catches, 106 yards, and a touchdown. Once upon a time, we were very excited about Preston Williams. Everybody kind of was. Do you think we should be now?
No. I mean, be alert for another performance, but it's 4 catches. He was terrible, like, for the first 4 weeks of the season. Like, legit, he wasn't good at all. Like, I watched those games, and he wasn't good. I saw the long touchdown in this one, because this was another game that it was on, like, on one of my screens, but I wasn't really intrigued by it. Like, it was just, it was a weird game, right? I was mad because Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing good in a week that I ranked him so low. I think everybody did, though, to be fair. But to see him come off like such a crap game, and then like the Dolphins talk about benching him potentially, I was like, all right, he could pull mid game, and then he goes out and throws 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, I was just angry. But it's something to be alert with Williams. But Devontae Parker only saw 3 targets in this game. That's not going to keep up.
Yeah. No. You know who was really terrible was Jimmy Garoppolo. 7 of 17 with 2 picks. CJ Beathard a little better. I mean, 1 touchdown to Kendrick Bourne, but just completely gross. Was this just Garoppolo being rusty? Or should we be worried about this offense or what?
Did he rush back from that ankle injury? I mean, I'm guessing that's going to be the excuse that's used, is that he wasn't particularly fully ready, but we thought that we might be able to get by with it or something like that. But he did. There's been games in the past where Garoppolo hasn't looked great, and then like there's a couple interceptions that are dropped or whatever the reason, and then the stat sheet doesn't show that, where Garoppolo hasn't been the most consistent quarterback. Most of the time he's pretty reliable, so it's one game. I don't want to overreact to it. but he definitely has these from time to time.
Are you dropping Jerick McKinnon now? Mostert dominates the production. McKinnon, 3 touches for 5 yards.
That's a dude. I kid you not. This morning I was racking my brain about it. When I heard that Mostert was going to play, I'm like, all right, I'm moving him up. And I went up to, I put him, I think, at RB 18 on the day. And I'm pretty happy with that for his performance. He walked into, he looked good. He looked really good when he carried the ball. But I was torn on McKinnon. I'm like, all right, basically Jeff Wilson is just dead. Tevin Coleman is still a guy that was getting a dozen touches even when Mostert was healthy. So I was like, this is a game that should be a positive game script. I'm going to guess 10 to 12 touches for McKinnon. I ended up putting him at like RB 28 or something like that.
I think I had him 27th. I pegged the situation exactly like you did.
Yeah, and like even if you were to say the game script was like this, you figured he would have had more targets than he did. But it didn't. Either way, it was impossible to predict this game script. But it was disappointing. I wouldn't drop him. No, I definitely wouldn't drop him. But I don't think he's startable at this point.
All right, let's go here to the Cowboys 37, the Giants 34. And again, this was finishing up as we started recording. You, of course, have the Dak Prescott injury. Ezekiel Elliott, 19 for 91 on the ground, and he scores 2 touchdowns. Dak actually caught a touchdown pass on a trick play before he left. CeeDee Lamb was your leading receiver, 11 targets, 8 catches, 124 yards. Amari Cooper really wasn't involved. You talked a little bit about this on the DFS show. You don't want to be guessing which Cowboys receiver was going to be left out here. 4 targets, 2 catches, and 23 yards. Michael Gallup, when Andy Dalton on the last drive when he was in, got most of his production, a couple of deep shots, pretty catches, all 4 of his targets for 73 yards. I guess breakdown tags the impact, whether or not you think a single receiver benefits or whether or not just the general impact. Now with Andy Dalton likely to be the starter for the rest of the season, what's the impact on the wide receivers?
Oh, I mean, I want to say that Amari Cooper is going to be fine because if you go back to Andy Dalton when he was in Cincinnati, he was the guy, he was willing to throw it up one-on-one to A.J. Green all the time. Now, Amari Cooper is not the contested catch wide receiver that A.J. Green was, but he does generate a whole lot more separation. I would expect this offense to be similar, to be honest, moving forward in terms of like the target shares, but it does take away a lot of upside because Andy Dalton's not throwing for 450 yards 3 games in a row. I mean, that's just not going to happen. Dak was actually the first quarterback to do that in the NFL, to have 3 straight games of 450-plus yards passing.
On the other side of the ball, Daniel Jones does not come through in the big matchup.
He's Mitch Trubisky 2.0, dude. I said it before the year, and he looked terrible.
He looked terrible. Really disappointing because this was kind of the one that his fantasy managers were just waiting on through all the tough matchups. Here we go, and it's just bad. Devonta Freeman looks good, 17 for 60. And scores a touchdown, and he adds on 27 through the air. Evan Ingram, you know, we were kind of like, oh, maybe Evan Ingram, he scores a rushing touchdown, doesn't really get involved too much in the air, although one was called back with the penalty. But Darius Slayton was the guy, 11 targets, 8 catches, 129 yards. How do you feel about Slayton here going forward?
I mean, I loved him this week. We talked about him on the Start Sit show. We talked about him on the DFS show. He was like our favorite play this week, and he was someone that I was going to have in a lot of lineups. So this is not surprising. It is actually somewhat surprising to see him have 8 catches, 129 yards with Daniel Jones looking as bad as he did. But Sterling Shepard's going to be back soon. Get rid of Darius Slayton if you can. It sucks to say that because his target share has been there. But again, when Sterling Shepard comes back to the offense, and now that Devonta Freeman is starting to earn a bigger role in the offense, you're going to see that target share come down, and you're going to see games with 4 or 5, 6 targets, and there's no guaranteed production coming from Daniel Jones in those targets. So I would probably be looking to sell high on Darius Slayton rather than buy him.
And real quick, how do you feel about Freeman going forward?
He looked good. I mean, he did. Honestly, if you were to put Devonta Freeman on the Cardinals right now, he would look better than Kenyon Drake does.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's really surprising to me because, again, I was not big on him. I thought there was definitely a reason why clubs weren't out there signing him. But I watched today and I was impressed. And it wasn't just that he was going up against a bad defense. Like, he looked good. He looked quick and decisive. And I really like the way he runs. So he's going to be moving up for sure on my rest of season rankings. Last game here, Tags, Browns 32, Colts 23. I will say, Tags, I don't know if you saw it at the very end of the game, Mayfield took a shot on his ribs and he's getting x-rays. So hopefully he's okay. We'll act as if he is. He throws 2 touchdown passes, also throws 2 picks, unfortunately. His 2 touchdown passes go to Higgins and 1 to Hunt. And I said that with the injury to Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt was not going to suddenly morph into a 20 to 25 touchback. And of course, he had 23 touches on the day.
I told you he would.
Yeah, of course, for 93 yards. He does catch that very pretty receiving touchdown. D'Ernest Johnson does chip in mostly at the end, 8 for 32. Jarvis Landry, who just kept getting banged up, but kept making, having production, 9 targets, 4 catches, 88 yards. Odell Beckham Jr., 9 targets, 5 catches, 58 yards. And Austin Hooper, 10 targets, 5 catches, and 57 yards. So what's your biggest takeaway here, Tags, from the Browns? Again, assuming Mayfield's fine.
That Kareem Hunt is basically, like, I talked about this and saying that, you know, the talent gap on the live stream this morning, I said that the talent gap between Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt was minimal, right? You honestly, if you were to pull every GM in the league, you might get Kareem Hunt better. But it's very close between those two, right? The talent gap between Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson is quite large. And the touch share basically should have represented that, and it did. So that's why I have Kareem Hunt as my number 7 running back on the rest of the season, just because Nick Chubb, I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. I think that's like a foregone conclusion. And if the Browns, I mean, the Browns are 4-1, so I guess this team's going to be playing for things once he does come back. So maybe I'm too high on Kareem Hunt, but I believe over the next month, he's going to be a top, maybe top 3 running back, considering that opportunity.
Yeah, he's good. I didn't think that he was going to get quite the workload that he got in this game. But yeah, he was 9 for you come for the rest of the season coming into the week. So you're moving up. He was 12 for me. I'm moving him up. But yeah, I agree. This is really, they're going to give him this workload. He's going to be an absolute monster. For the Colts, Phillip Rivers, less terrible. I'm sorry for anybody who I said before the season that I blamed the offensive line from last year, that he was really had something left in the tank because he really does not look good. 243 yards and 2 picks. Jonathan Taylor runs better here, Tags. I thought when I was watching, then I felt like we thought in the last couple of games, 12 for 57 on the ground and a touchdown. Your leading receiver, both in targets and receptions, is T.Y. Hilton, 10 for 6 catches and 69 yards. It looked like a concerted effort to get T.Y. Hilton the ball. Of course, it didn't result in a great offensive performance. So are you feeling any better about T.Y. Hilton, considering this is like a great game for Hilton, 6 for 69 yards?
It is. It's the first time in his last like 10 games that he's finished as a top 36 wide receiver. He's going to this week. It was a low performance week, honestly. As of right now, he is sitting in PPR formats as the wide receiver 22 on the week, which kind of goes to show you 6 carries or 6 catches for 69 yards is not very impressive. It was just a low scoring week for wide receivers overall. Does it make me feel any better? No, because like it's clear that the Colts have been trying to hide Phillip Rivers the last couple weeks behind that run game, behind the good defense. And that's something that they're going to have to do continuing because Phillip Rivers looked like trash. He did not look good. So no, I'm not really into T.Y. Hilton.
And do you feel any better about Jonathan Taylor?
Oh, yeah, he was someone that I was going to say, you already mentioned it, but I thought he looked more decisive. He got downhill a lot faster. That's something that he needs to do with his running style and then kind of like make his cuts once he gets through that first lane of defense, because he was just trying to make too many decisions behind the line of scrimmage and it really wasn't panning out for him.
All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Thanks again to Owner's Box. Remember, change the way you play fantasy sports with weekly fantasy sports. Just go to ownersbox.com/fantasypros. Get your first deposit matched up to $50. Thanks also to Prediction Strike. Build a portfolio of athletes and watch them rise or fall based on the course of their careers. Go to PredictionStrike.com and sign up with code FANTASYPROS to get an additional $10 for your first deposit of $20 or more. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, doing our waiver wire show. Everybody enjoys Sunday Night Football, which you've already seen by the time you are watching this because we are not live streaming this. No big deal. And we will talk to you on our waiver wire show in the morning and give you a lot of insight on everybody who you're going to need to pick up this week. Talk to you then.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.